Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another edition. Hang on. I think that got it. Apparently there was a little buzz, and I figured it out. Thank you for joining us today on this June 18, 2021. We are here, the Spirit of Truth Ministry, getting ready to start our program, The Bible on Trial. This program was the first program that we put on the air on Blog Talk Radio in 2007, I think it was. I think we were one of the very first programs to get to Blog Talk Radio. We started on TalkShoe, and we did, how many years did we do on TalkShoe? We did a couple of years on TalkShoe. Oh, yeah. And then we changed over to Blog Talk Radio, and we've been there ever since. We're glad that you've joined us today. We will encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. This book is a primer as to what it was that actually got us defined as a ministry. And part of that is the great deception that has been plaguing the Christian church for a little over 2,000 years. And if you want to know about that great deception, just listen to a few of the past programs that we have, and you'll hear all about it. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. This is our secondary website. It's the original website that we put up many years ago. And we, at this point, don't update it because we have our primary website. But there is lots of good stuff there for you to read as well, particularly the you can go to the archives for our that website, and you can look up the timing chart of the end and the description of how that timing chart works and how it came about. The information that you've been getting since August 14 and 15, by the way, the anniversary of that's coming up pretty quick, it's really earth-shattering, because it takes what we have always thought to be the case, that we are on the death road. And since then, we have learned that we are no longer on the death road, but we are on the life road to peace and prosperity, which will kind of put a crimp into the, I guess you'd call it the idea that Revelation and Daniel seminars are going to be worth anything anymore. But
not that they were before,
given what people were saying about, you know, how all that worked. So encourage you to use those resources. Let's have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a beautiful time together here on this beautiful June day to come aside for an hour and learn from your words as translated to us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us this information that will help us as we go forward, so that not only can we learn it and live it ourselves, but we can teach it. and help others to come nearer you. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's say hi to Dr. Don here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Don. We hear you loud and clear. Are you?
We're approaching the longest day in the year.
First day right.
in California, man, it's getting hot. So summer's coming.
Well, there's a very ancient song. Cannot remember the composer right now, but it is "Summer is coming in." So nice to have you with us today, Don.
What's the name of it again?
"Summer is a coming in."
Okay.
And it's Old English. So in any case, if you need to get on with us, Don, just go ahead and hit number one and we'll let you make your comments. We encourage all of our listeners to make use of our facilities here. Come on. There it goes. So, good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I have now started my 70th year since birth.
Yes, and by the way, that was yesterday. And we went to George's, and I bought not only Rick a beer, but his son came along too, and it was nice to see Jonathan. He's looking really good, and he's doing very well, apparently. So,
yes, he just was accepted into the bachelor program for speech communication science at Cal Baptist University. And the letter that he received from them was to the effect that they were very happy.
Delighted
to have him come and to be a student there in that program. And he's already demonstrated gifts in treatment, particularly of children with autism. I'm very proud of my son and my daughter, as you are, Dennis.
And Dr.
Proud
Don.
Proud of your son and your daughter.
Yep.
Dr. Don's daughter was a classmate with my daughter at the little private school here. Do you know what keeps us from being joined to our Father, the Almighty?
It would have to be lies.
Mm-hmm. And what are lies?
Anything that is not true.
Well, yeah, no, I know that. But when you say anything that isn't true.
Any words.
So, again, what keeps us from being joined to our Father, the Almighty?
Believing a lie as if it is the truth and thinking that we can get away with it.
Lying words.
Lying words.
And that is it. Words that convey a lie. Words are powerful. Words have within them power. The spoken word can create and it can destroy. It can stop and it can start. What is it that the stone uses that stone that is described in Daniel chapter 2. What is it that stone uses to separate itself from the mountain? Words.
It would have to be words, yeah.
What type of words? What kind of words? What character of words?
Truthful words.
Truth. Now, you could say the mountain is a solid block of granite, and the stone that broke itself away from the mountain was once a part of that solid block of granite. But we're speaking in spiritual terms, using a physical representation. How does the stone destroy the kingdom of the world?
With words.
With words and more so with its very existence. Now, think of what did God say to his prophets in Israel? What particulars did he give them in describing his purpose for and need of a kingdom on earth? And that's what his plan was for the children of Israel and any non-Israelite who wanted to be part of Israel and worship the God of Israel. In that case, what God said is any foreigner is welcome as long as they agree to keeping the covenant, the males being circumcised as a sign that they are keeping the covenant. And what did God say? Did he say, I'm going to put together your sons into a mighty army and they are going to go and subdue the whole earth through force of arms and mighty power?
No, he didn't say that.
So how was he supposed to destroy the kingdom of the world if he wasn't putting together a mighty army from Israel?
He was going to destroy it by them living in the land and being blessed by God and having the world wonder why and come there and see what was going on.
In Daniel chapter 2, and I don't know whether you'll realize this or not, but by the time we're done with this whole thing, I don't know that we'll be done with it, but you're going to have memorized Daniel chapter 2 because we go there all the time. But in Daniel chapter 2, in the Jerusalem Bible, there's an interesting way to translate what talks about the stone. And that's Daniel chapter 2 and starting with verse 44.
So we're not going to Daniel 2:34, which is, you continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands?
We may go up there.
Okay.
But from verse 44, in the time of these kings, that's the kings of the feet. We are in the feet right now of that time period depicted by that image, that great image. We are of the kings of the feet. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom will not be given into the hands of another race. It will shatter and absorb. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms, and itself last forever. What does that mean? Well, first, what I note is that the stone is going to shatter the image, but it strikes the image at its feet. Now, is God having a change of mind or a change of tactic or method? Is he putting together a mighty army that's represented by this stone? And that they are going to sweep across the whole world and destroy all the nations, and then that's how they're going to absorb all the peoples of this nation. If that is the case, it would be completely different, completely off the plan that God has always had.
Does the term absorb engender a picture of violence or a picture of something else? I mean,
well, you could say that when a nation is defeated, the people are brought into subjugation, you know, you could say absorb, but that really wouldn't, what absorb means is to take in, that they actually become a part of,
yes,
the stone.
Right, exactly.
And we know that for a certain, because right after that it says, just as you saw the stone untouched by hand break from the mountain and shatter the bronze, the earthenware, the silver, and the gold. But up where you were, Dennis, in that verse up above, it said that the stone that broke away, and I think this is verse 34, yeah, broke away untouched by hand and struck the statue, struck its feet of iron and earthenware, and shattered them, and then iron, earthenware, bronze, silver, gold all broke into small pieces of fine chaff on the threshing floor in summer. The wind blew them away, leaving not a trace behind. And the stone that had struck the statue grew into a great mountain filling the whole earth. What kind of a picture does that?
Well, and one of the things that you've, when faced with that word whole, in other areas of scripture, you've often said, how much is excluded from the word whole? You see, what's not there? Well, everything is there. The whole earth will become a part of that kingdom. Now, will there be parts of what there would, anything that's excluded is not in the kingdom. Anything that is, has been blown away by the wind, the chaff from the threshing floor is no longer inside that kingdom.
It's blown away.
Ceased,
it's gone.
It has ceased to exist.
So how does the stone grow into a great mountain? See, he doesn't say that as soon as the stone strikes the image and destroys it,
yeah,
that the stone then is a great mountain.
No.
It says the stone grew into a great mountain.
And that indicates that there is a process, not an edict.
Yes. What else does that confirm? Is about the stone.
Oh.
The stone, which we're told, and I've read this, it says the stone is the kingdom that the God of heaven will set up in the days of the feet.
And if we tie this in to Matthew 24:43-51 and the faithful and wise servant, could we say that that stone is a singular individual?
Yes.
And that individual brings words from the Father that he gets from Jesus that opens up that kingdom on earth.
Does the stone absorb the other kingdoms before or after it destroys the image?
After it destroys the image. It knocks that image down. Now, does that mean literal kingdoms are destroyed? No, of course not.
This is the key, Dennis and Don and all of those who are listening. This is the key that I noted in this prophecy, which I hadn't seen before because I was interpreting it in light of what I was reading in Revelation was what was going to happen. There was no way to stop it. I mean, the Son of God had said it was going to be like the days of Noah, and what I know about the days of Noah is only what is described in Genesis. And it says right there that the heart of every person was cold and hard, and it would repel any element of goodness. Truth would have
no way
of penetrating the hearts of those people, and the only one alive on the face of the earth who was righteous enough was Noah, one man. When I look at the world today, I do not see that same type of condition of the heart of the people. I see it in some. I see it in quite a few, but I certainly don't see it in the majority. The devil does not have the army of humans that he needed to affect what Revelation describes, to make that happen. Now, he's still trying to make Revelation happen. But it isn't going to happen. And here is why. A certain set time. that he was working toward, and he needed to have a certain condition amongst all the people of the world in order for this to take place. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. And let's read right after the war. So let's start with the war in heaven, verse 7 of Revelation 12. And now war broke out in the heavens when Michael and his angels attacked the dragon. The dragon fought back with his angels, but they were defeated and driven out. We've discussed this issue of the war in the heavens, that it doesn't stand to reason that they were trying to destroy each other. It was more like how many of the angels are going to take a stand for the dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil, and Satan. How many angels would take his side and stand with him? We're told that a third of the angels followed him. The two-thirds stood fast with Michael, their prince, their leader. This war was a war of words. Charges and countercharges, lies and truth. And what decided this is the presence of two-thirds of the angels standing fast with their Creator, Almighty God. A war conducted with words, lying words, and truthful words. Verse 9, the great dragon, the primeval serpent, known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived all the world, was hurled to the ground, and his angels were hurled down with him. The Pharians, the Masons, and Catholics, various secret societies, the Kabbalah. What the Kabbalah is, the occult Jewish practice that follows the Midrash and the Talmud. They all see this as a victory for Lucifer, not a defeat. They say he was the victor in the heavens, and he came down here to change the world into a better place. And they won't tell you that his plan was to build a world based on lies, because they have reversed everything. Lies are truth. truth is lies, life is death, or life comes from death, and death is life. It says he's deceived the whole world. And to me, or all the world or the whole world, to me that means that there was not a person who was not living in a deception through no real fault of their own, because the devil moved quickly to temper the truth. And his plan was to completely destroy the evidence of the truth. And therefore, no one would have the ability to access the true testimony of the Son of God. God has already promised that there is no way that the words that he sent here to this earth for us to learn and to come to an understanding from the message that these words deliver. There's no way, and there's no one, and there's no being that can destroy them or hide them such that no one is able to access these words. The Almighty is not called the Almighty because he can do most things, but not all things. He is Almighty. Then I heard a voice shout from heaven, "Victory and power and empire forever have been won by our God, and all authority for his anointed one. Now that the persecutor who accused our brothers day and night before our God has been brought down. They, our brothers, have triumphed over him, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb and by the witness of their martyrdom, because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. Let the heavens rejoice and all who live there. But for you, earth and sea, trouble is coming, because the devil has gone down to you in a rage, knowing that his days are numbered." Your Bible may say that his time is short. Same thing. If we stop to think about what does that mean, knowing that his days are numbered, what does that word day or words days are numbered mean? We're talking about words. Words convey meaning, and words give us understanding and how to look at these things. So what does it mean? Days are numbered. His days are numbered.
There is an end to him at some point.
Does he know how many days he has?
He does.
Now, let's think for a moment what he may think. Okay, so he knows his days are numbered. The fact that he knows they're numbered, he must know the number of days that he has. If he knows the number, and he's the one planning the end, what we read in Revelation, you know, about the beasts and the trumpets and the seals and the bowls and two witnesses, you know, and the beast from the abyss and giving breath to the image, and et cetera, et cetera. And he needs to get planned together because humans are intricately involved in that process. He must know when that must get started. In other words, if you're planning a trip, do you know when you're going to start your trip?
Well, you have an itinerary which gives you the day and the time that you're going to start, what you're going to do along the way, and when you are going to return.
So let's say your work tells you that they are getting a new operating system. And the company who has developed this operating system is doing a seminar for those who will be using this system in work. And the seminar is going to be from this date to this date. And your company that you work for is going to send you to the city where they're going to be conducting this seminar so that you can learn how to operate the new operating system. So let's say that it starts on October the 3rd and it runs to October the 19th. So you fly to the city where you're going to have the seminar on October the 20th. Are you going to be able to attend the seminar?
No.
Why?
Because you're late.
Because you had to be there
on the 3rd.
By the 3rd in order to be with everybody else who was learning about the new system. You see, the devil knew the date that all this was going to get started. He knew how many days he had. He knew that the number of days that he had. So he had everything planned and in place for a very long time to start in what date? Actually, it's not really to start. It was kind of to make everything come to fruition. This was going to be his great victory. The year this would start would be 2012, winter solstice, 2012. And God would also start in 2011, July of 2011. And during the time between July of 2011 and December of 2012, there would be the bringing together of the 144,000. And then from 2012 to 2016, there would be the beginning of the 10 bridesmaids, and those who had oil would go, where would they go, Dennis?
Into the marriage feast.
Marriage feast. And what is the marriage feast? And now, what is it representing? The kingdom.
The kingdom of heaven, yes.
The kingdom. No, the kingdom of God. The bridesmaids are already in the kingdom
right.
of the heavens.
Right. You're right.
They're going to go into the kingdom of God. Now, where it says here, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know specifically what that means? You know, in John, we read, is it John 15 or John 16? John 16, starting with, now let's start with verse 5, verse 4. I did not tell you this at the outset because I was with you, but now I am going to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Yet you are sad at heart because I have told you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going, because unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send her to you. And when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin and about who was in the right and about judgment. About sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. About who was in the right, proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. About judgment. Proved by the prince of this world being already condemned.
And since the prince of this world is already condemned, what would that say about the people that also worshipped that prince?
The same thing. What was his condemnation based upon? He was a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. What did the Son of God do that caused this condemnation judgment to be put into effect? He testified to the
yep.
truth so that all those who accepted his testimony and incorporated his testimony into their intellect would be able to escape from the judgment that the devil has brought upon all the world. So he knows his days are numbered, and he has a specific plan. Like in my example, the seminar was running from October 3rd to October 19th, and that if you wanted to attend the seminar, you needed to be there on those dates. You couldn't show up on the 20th of October or on November the 1st and hope to attend the seminar because the seminar will already be over. The dates set for the Great Tribulation were contained in those three time periods given in Daniel chapter 12. 1,335 days, 1,270 days, and 1,260 days. Those three time periods encompass the Great Tribulation. So the last date, and you'll find this very chart, date, calendar, whatever you want to call it, for the Great Tribulation on our main website, or on our older website, the Spirit of Truth Ministry
.net/capital S, capital T, capital M. And I've also put it on our Facebook page several times, and you should be able to scroll down and it'll say timing chart at the end.
So you see that the last date on that calendar occurs in September of 2019. So to compare it with the example of the seminar that I just used, the start date would be July the 11th, 2012, is it? July the 11th, 2012?
Yeah.
July the 11th, 2012, yes. And the end date, and I think I said 2011, but I meant July the 11th, 2012. The end date is in September of 2019. So if we are going to go through the Great Tribulation, we're late. And you say, well, you know, God can start it any time he wants to start it. Well, or maybe you say, well, the people weren't bad enough. Do you know where that started? That was waiting for the world to get to the condition that he had to come in judgment?
By the way, the at the beginning of the chart, I have it up. It is on our Facebook page, Spirit of Truth Ministry Facebook group. It says the 1,335 days of Daniel 12:12 starts around July 11, 2012. And it ends around March 7 of 2016.
Right.
The entire chart, the information on that chart actually ends on September 28, 2019.
But that doesn't include the bulls of wrath.
No, not including the bulls of wrath, because we wouldn't know how long
they
would last.
Because there was no time.
Right, there's no time. Which means, since we have not gone through that, we will never go through it. So what are we going to, what happens now, since that's already passed?
I don't know how many of you follow alternative media in those that are describing what's going on, but several of them are saying that the deep state cabal have already missed their start date. What happened is when Donald Trump was elected president, it upset everything. And so it delayed everything, which is why they're trying to rush it through.
And by the way, this is the reason why Hillary Rodham Clinton was spitting nails, because she knew she had already won the election.
He says nails, I say vitriol.
Well, it is. And she actually couldn't understand what happened at that point. I bet you she knows now.
Well, you know, I told you that the elite friend of Pastor Lindsey Williams, when asked the same question, his answer was simple. God intervened. Why would God intervene? Now, if we read this, the Great Tribulation, Revelation 13, and then Revelation 14 are describing the 144,000 and then the three angels' messages and so forth. We read that. Do we see, does that fit in the description of the end that's written in Daniel chapter 2?
No, actually.
You see, the kingdom of God, represented by the stone, the people enter that after the destruction of the kingdom of the world. And the seventh angel's trumpet is key to this. And I believe that's why 10, when the seven thunders are heard by John and he's about to write it down and he's told not to write it down, it's a secret. There is a clue, though, given in Revelation 10. That says, in verse 7, the time of waiting is over. At the time when the seventh angel is heard sounding his trumpet, God's secret intention will be fulfilled, just as he announced in the good news told to his servants, the prophets. And we can see what the seventh angel's trumpet sounding is connected with in chapter 11 of Revelation, starting with verse 16. That was the second of the troubles. The third is to come quickly after it. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and voices could be heard shouting in heaven, calling, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The 24 elders, enthroned in the presence of God, prostrated themselves and touched the ground with their foreheads, worshiping God with these words, "We give thanks to you, Almighty Lord God. He is and he was, for using your great power and beginning your reign." So the reign of Almighty begins at the end of the Great Tribulation. At the end of the Great Tribulation, all those who are in the kingdom are in the kingdom, and all those who are not in the kingdom are not. Obvious reason. What's the difference? How come what's the difference between the ones out and the ones in? Well, the ones out have the mark of the beast. So when the kingdom, the announcement of the seventh angel that God has started his reign, according to Revelation 11, the kingdom is as full as it will ever be. So the destruction of the image in Revelation 11 would occur, would occur at the end of the sixth trumpet, and the announcement of that would be at the seventh trumpet. But the stone that destroys the image, and then it absorbs all the people of the nations. It grows after the image is destroyed and the dust is blown away. But in Revelation, it describes a kingdom that is already put together and doesn't grow any bigger after the announcement of the triumph. So I never saw that before. I mean, I saw it before, but this is a really good example of learning one thing, and you know that that is true. So when you read something like you read what happens in Revelation and then you read what happens in Daniel 2, and your mind automatically compensates as you read through that.
It filters it.
And, well, not it doesn't so much filter as it compensates for it. You know, you see it a certain way. So when you see that the stone that strikes the image is when the kingdom is destroyed, the kingdom of the world is destroyed. So, and even in Revelation 10, you can see it's connected with the seventh trumpet. So you go, okay, this must be it. But then when you think, well, the seventh thunders may be a time of peace and prosperity, and we may not be going through this great tribulation. And then you see what you didn't see before. The stone grows after the kingdom of the world is destroyed, not while or before it's being destroyed.
Yes, that's amazing, isn't it? It's truly amazing.
It is amazing. And I hope that you will all join us tomorrow for, I hope, another interesting, good study.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. Again, join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Blog Talk Radio for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we will learn more about this. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net, and please take a look around, and you can read a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and Dennis Neufeld. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a good day, and we will see you tomorrow.